way back 10 years ago, before Misfit to Maven was called Misfit to Maven, it was called the 7 Steps to R, and then became the 8 Steps, and then became 80 Days to R, and is now known as Misfit to Maven, the Fundamentals, or from Ah to Ah. And it's celebrating 10 years this year, this month. It's 10 years old. Can you believe that? And today's guest did the very first format of that program back in 2014. And his life has changed quite a lot. And I'll let you listen to the episode to hear where he is now and where he was before. Today's guest is Graham Blackwell, ordained in the Church of England, serving in the Mirfield Teen Parish, a former marketeer and music writer. Graham lives with his family in West Yorkshire and feels like he's now doing what he was put on earth to do. I loved this episode and I hope you will too. And if you're a patron, you'll get to listen to us talking behind the scenes as well, a little bit more as I go in and ask him my direct questions. I really hope that you get a lot from this episode. I hope that you will then take the next step and come and join me inside M2M and really shift those fundamental things inside the you so that you can be, do, have the life that you were designed for. So without further ado, here you go. Enjoy.
You are listening to Adulting with Ebony. Season 7 brings together neurodiversity, human design, and embodiment so that Gen X or millennial misfits and late diagnosed neurospices become empowered, embodied, and fully expressed. This is the show where I actively encourage you to feel your feelings rather than think them, glow up, not grow up, and become full of yourself. Because who the fuck else should you be full of? Each week, I have real and raw conversations about what it takes to be fully resourced and have happy, healthy, intimate relationships as a dopamine deficient adult wanting to create a better future by being the change that you want to see in the world. I am your host, Ebony Allard, aka Ebony Alchemy, a late diagnosed ADHDer, combined type and Asperger's in case you like specifics, artist, mystic, and self-actualization facilitator. I'm an international award-winning multiple brain integration technique master coach with special interest in embodied human design for neurodivergence. I've been in the personal development, creativity, and entrepreneurship spaces all of my life. And as a 5'2 emotional manifesting generator with a left angle cross of distraction, I am here to help you know what to trust and what to tune out. Each week, I share relatable, practical ways that mean you get to take less responsibility for more reward and safely remove your camouflage for more belonging, acceptance, and fulfillment. Ready? Let's go.
I'm really excited about this conversation.
Likewise.
I say that about all of the conversations that I have with all the people, because genuinely having conversations with people about their lives and their stories and their experiences fascinates me. But I've been really looking forward to this conversation because even though we haven't maintained contact throughout 10 years, like all the time, you were, and this is genuinely true, you were the first person to buy Misfit to Maven when it was called 80 Days to R back then, and was like a series of PDFs or something. It was like the first time I put the content together and my very first online course. And we chatted on Twitter. And then I feel really grandiose saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway and then see your response. And then your whole life changed.
That's pretty much it.
We'll just leave it there. No, but that could be in a good way or a bad way. So give us a little bit more. How can you remember that time? Can you remember discovering me or like how we first made contact?
I can. Well, I mean, I think absolutely through Twitter, like, what the sort of what you were talking about in terms of how you wanted to coach people, the language that you were using connected with me in a way that other people who work in your sphere didn't necessarily. I'd been through some things in my professional life that were claimed to be about coaching and but were very For me, just weren't connecting the dots, weren't connecting with me and who I felt I was. And so you really intrigued me, and the way you were just your persona, how you were projecting yourself, the way you were talking, intrigued me. And kind of, I guess, as you say, we got talking on Twitter, and then it was like, okay, where does it go from here? Now, at the time, I mean, interesting, you were talking about 80 Days to R, and I was looking for that R moment because I knew I didn't quite fit where I was.
And where were you then, just to give
Well,
some
so I was
context?
working for so I was working for a marketing business who focused on retail marketing, blue chip clients. It was great, it was interesting. There were things that I brought to that role, there were things that that world did for me in terms of my own personal growth, but I didn't quite fit. And it's interesting now thinking about the program has your program as it's developed, and now it's Misfit, to Maven. And I felt like a misfit. It's even though I was doing good work, even though there were aspects of the work I enjoyed, people were still coming and saying, oh, what if you just did this instead? Or could you be a bit less that and a bit more this? And somehow, albeit I was coping with it, I knew it wasn't forever, and I knew somehow I was going to have to change, that my work was going to have to change, my focus was going to have to change. Was I prepared to put the work in to make the change? That's a different question. But I was looking for tools and a vocabulary and a way to start on that journey.
I really love your honesty because so many people, in fact, there's a meme that I've got that is from about 10 years ago that came up in my like memories. I was like, I need to share that again. It's that like, I want, when you want everything to change, but you aren't willing to change anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and totally admit that I was in a place where I was one of those people who was just kind of sitting there going, come on, change. I can't do this forever.
But you were
But
also, and this is presumptive, but also what I see, having worked with thousands of people now, particularly for men, what happens is this like real stasis and lack of joy, and a real like almost like I cannot remember any time when they ever felt joy or stimulated or activated by something. And like the idea of fun feels so far away from the burden of responsibility. Obviously, this isn't for everybody, but that's kind of how it felt for you when you came into that program, or for me, the feeling I got of you.
Well, I totally relate to what you're saying, and absolutely agree with that. I think, there was a sense of where is the joy? Will I ever get back to it? And yeah, that was something I was looking to reconnect, well, maybe connect with for the first time in terms of a professional life or a working life. But I had
Well,
it, but
so pushing the story along because I know what happened next. So
Yeah.
I want to know, you had a blog. Now, did you have the blog before we started working together, or before you did M2A, like the I'm going to call it M2A.
I had a blog before we met,
Yes.
but I would tinker with it. It wasn't a big, it wasn't a main focus, and I'd update it once in a while, and but I had an inkling that maybe that was something that I was
And
meant to be
it's one of the
doing.
reasons we connected, actually. I think it was over music. So the
Yeah,
blog was
absolutely.
a music blog. And at that time, for people who have only just discovered the internet and don't know what it was like 10 years ago, blogs were big then.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like, I mean, it's like podcasting is today, wasn't it? It was like if you've wanted to do something creative, independent, maybe get noticed doing what you were doing, blog was the thing to do, wasn't it? It was
And it was your escape. It was the one place, I think, where you got to be you. It was kind of your online man shed in some way.
Absolutely. Good way of putting it. Yeah, absolutely. It was a world that I got to play in, that I was passionate about, that I seemed to be able to connect with other people over. It was my online man cave. You're absolutely right.
And for that reason, if I remember rightly, it didn't have your face on it, right? Like it was this kind of faceless thing that you did.
Absolutely. Yeah. There was
What
nothing,
happened when
there
you,
was no me in
sorry,
it. Yeah,
there was
in
no
the
you in it
sense
when
that,
you died. What happened when you went on the M2M journey with it?
Lots of things happened. Well, it got a bit more personal. I brought some of my personality into it and made it clear who the author of this thing was and what I was about. I brought some, well, it got rebranded to some extent. It got renamed. I found a name and therefore a philosophy behind the name that really drove all that I was doing with that blog. And then things started taking off. So you'll remember, no
I
doubt. I
do.
mean, probably a little bit niche, but for the heavy metal heads out there, I got a message from Terry Murphy from My Ruin metal band. She was really well known, and her husband Mick, who's a guitarist in the band, and she was like, I've seen your writing, and it's really cool, and you seem to get music, and more importantly, I'd written about some of their music, and you really seem to get what we're about. And from there, I got invited to help write a book that they were working on. I got connected through them to lots of interviews and other artists and materials that I was able to write about and support on the blog. And then in 2014, they were coming over to the UK to do like a last ever UK tour. And I went on tour with them and documented like that. So, yeah, all these things started happening as a result. Yeah, very much as a result of some of the stuff that you unlocked for me in terms of what I was about, what my values were, and how those drove who I am and what I did. And it went places.
And it
So,
was really fun to watch. It was really, I talk a lot these days about ease and staying wild, staying true, being more you, and that magic happens when you do that, when you align with your signature frequency, your signature vibration, when you let go of the perceptions and the projections of who you think you need to be in order to survive and allow yourself to be. Then you thrive. And for me, watching that, like it was a quantum moment and it all happened very, very quickly. And again, you could have got scared, you could have said no, you could have been like, people like me don't do, there could have been all of these things. And you rode the wave.
And it was amazing. It was also terrifying in some ways because it is change is scary, isn't it? It can be. But yeah, I wouldn't have swapped it for the world. And I suppose, yeah, I talk about acceptance a lot in my life. And I don't mean settling. I mean just accepting things that you that are fundamental to who you are, things you might not be able to change for whatever reason. And I accepted that this was an amazing opportunity and said yes to it and accepted it into my life and accepted that there would be some discomfort within that. But ultimately I saw that it was good discomfort. It was gonna help me grow, it was gonna help me be more me.
And did it. So like when, this is it's a wave, it's a big thing, it's a one-time tour, it was opportunities to write and do this book and stuff. And what happened afterwards? Did you go back to marketing and your life and
Well, I did, but not in the same way. So I mean, I kept the day job because that was what was paying the bills. I mean, if I'm honest, I mean, there was definitely still an element of that. But the blog kept going and it maintained this absolute joy that I had in my life, and from that, but it also started me on all kinds of other journeys. So, I mean, for those who don't know now, last summer I was ordained as a member of clergy in the Church of England. So I've gone, well, as one person put it to me when I was describing what I'd done professionally before, I've gone from selling goods and services to selling Jesus. So, in a way,
I
yeah,
love
absolutely. Yeah.
that. I
But,
call this episode the Misfit Priest because for me it was like, oh, there's this kind of rock and roll element and the metal bit and then the electric car and the like ahead of his time and the real like humanity in spirituality. And for
Absolutely.
me, the amount of spirituality that is in my work now versus when we met Like it's always been there for me. Like I am a spiritual being having a human experience. And the bit that I struggle with is being human, not being spiritual, right? Like I really
Absolutely.
struggle being in a body on this earth, less now, but that's been my work. And it's fascinating to me to have watched or in from afar, you take this journey on a similar path, but in a very different way.
Absolutely. And but I mean, the course and all those things that you helped me think about and unlock and do very much connected me with that spiritual side of my life. And I was thinking, because I know you sort of, with some of the work you do around values, you challenge people to really get down to a root, two or three words that are things that are really important to you, who you are, that represent your values. And I know I went through that exercise. If I'm completely honest, I can't remember the words that I chose before and that I settled on. But I was thinking about it now and sort of redoing that exercise for myself from a point of view now. And I think I would choose probably very different words now than I did if I think about what I was likely to have chosen back then. And the spiritual aspect of it is just absolutely an intrinsic part of who I am. Now, there's a set of values and a set of ways of being that kind of come with being, I would describe myself as a Christian. I mean, I'm a Christian minister, as it were, Christian priest. And there's a set of values that I kind of expected. But at the same time, someone said to me recently, "You're a study in contradictions." And I was like, well, okay, that's interesting, because I don't feel conflicted in that way anymore. I don't feel like there's any contradictory parts of me, as it were, necessarily. But I can see why they were saying that, I think. So, I'm
I find that
remembering.
really interesting. So since you did the value filter, which was the version that was in the book, it has developed
Yeah,
and
of
it's
course.
become this compass. And there was a 3D version, which is these, the three that you remember me doing this all the time about, and like the thing that you're seeking that's also seeking you. And then you've got these other two, which are your kind of more sun and your moon, or your masculine and feminine, or kind of warrior and healer, right? It's different parts of you. And that's still true. And that's the first bit that we do. And then I take it further because inside the warrior, there is a dynamic and a static. And inside the healer, there is a dynamic and a static. And what that then kind of unfolds as it becomes a pyramid. So we have these four on the bottom instead of two, and the triangle top comes up here, right? And what that then divides out to is earth, air, fire, and water. And what that means is that there are these two polarities. And when somebody is being fully human and embracing all aspects of themselves, to some people that will they will experience that as contrary. If you put it on a line, it is. But if you put it on a spectrum or a circle, it's cyclical. Like winter is quite contrary to summer, right?
Absolutely. And and it's that sense of wholeness, I guess, and the complexity that comes with that, that I guess some people struggle with. What does it mean if I'm this one minute and that the next? And but again, well, it's interesting, because I mean, one of the things that I think is central to the spiritual side of my life and how I've ended up here is, and I think that was key to unlocking something about me and where I am now, is this idea that you need to be able to hold contradictions in tension together, and live with it. And so in a way, they almost, as you say, they don't become contradictions anymore. They're part of a whole, they're part of a spectrum, they're part of, you might be over here one minute and then shift slightly over here the next minute, but they're all you and they're all part of,
Well, and so, even then, I think I was using the definition of Maven as being holding more than one truth in the palm of your hand. And the idea that my truth and your truth can coexist, and they may not be the same, but it may also just be the perspective that we're standing in at this moment in time. And as
Absolutely.
we shift or move or change or age, that those perspectives might shift too.
And I think what I was really struggling with is actually what I was really struggling with when we first connected was the humanity and what I would think of as human aspects of who I was. Now, how that connects to some concept of divinity or spirituality or whatever, then that's a whole other conversation, isn't it? But yeah, all those things that I did with you that you helped me think about, support, unlock, have just, yeah, been transformational for me in so many ways. So yeah.
What I hear in that, and one of the things again that I talk about now, is the difference between self-love that is self-approval and self-love that is self-acceptance. And when we are in a people-pleasing, perfectionist, trying hard, place, which so many of the people that come into my world are because they're good humans who are, or want to be, right? And so are desperately looking, seeking for how do I be the best human I can be from a place of approval. And it's not really understood. It's the invisible water in which you swim that everything is, am I right? Am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Right. And which is that kind of masculine aspect. So the masculine aspect in us is, I did good, I did good. And then we've got this feminine bit inside all of us, which is, am I safe? Am I safe? Right? Like, do I belong? Am I going to get rejected from this? What, all of that stuff going on at the same time. And when we're able to do this work, and why I call it the fundamentals, is that when we make that fundamental shift to acceptance, everything changes.
Yeah, it really does. I was interested just listening to you then talking about masculine and feminine energy. And for me, that was something else that made me pick up and pay attention to yourself was the what I perceived then as the feminine energy and that side of what you were doing and talking about. Because I think all the things that I tried to engage with, all that I had to engage with through my professional life, were very much squarely rooted in this masculine world, this masculine energy that wasn't all encompassing of me, and that made me feel a little bit of a misfit, to coin a
Well,
phrase.
and these days, having done more work on this stuff, satisfaction, which is one of the questions in the Valley Filter thing, right? Pride, satisfaction, and happiness. Satisfaction is only achieved through the feminine. And if we're always looking for pride, 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 it's gone, it's not
That's it.
satisfying, right? There's no sense of like relief. There's no sense of enjoying what it is that we're creating. So we must do, regardless of gender or expression or identity, we must do and work on and adult both of these parts of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. And and it was just that was just there was just a key thing for me to be able to unlock and understand a bit more and connect with and feel okay doing it. Because as well, I've been in a world professionally, certainly, where a lot of this masculine pride and energy was just the order of the day. And if you weren't feeling it or you weren't pressing on in the way that you're expected to in that kind of sphere of life, then you were not doing it right. So yeah, it kind of connects back to what we were saying before about, you know.
And I think, there's two things that that brings up for me. One is I very much felt like a misfit because I wasn't hitting the standards of success that were predetermined by my industry or online or around me or by others that I deemed successful or doing
Absolutely.
it right, right? And now what I use as my measures for success are entirely different and have led me to living a life which I call my pussycat mermaid life, right? Like, I love my pussycat mermaid life. We've got very little to do with status and money, actually,
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean the life that I'm living now, I think I described it to you before we sort of, you know, got into the conversation we're having now. It's challenging and it's stretching and it forces me to grow and think about things and but it feels like home. It doesn't feel like I'm constantly struggling or butting up against walls or, you know, all the things that I experienced and felt in that previous life. The things that made me feel like a misfit now are actually the things that make me, hopefully, touch wood, really good at what I do now and why I'm in the world that I'm in now.
When before we pressed record, you said it feels like home. And for me, that's success, right? Like, I have traveled the world looking for home. You know, I'd lived in more countries than most people by the time I was seven, but I and continued to do that for all of my life. And even now, when people say, "Where are you from?" it irks me. From up there, or in, you know, from somewhere else, right? But what am I like? Where? And then they'll say, "Yes, but where is home?" And I'm like, in here, wherever I am, like I still don't understand your question, right? And it's that thing of like when you are at home in yourself, it almost doesn't matter what you're doing, because when you're being you, of course you're going to feel at home. And nobody gets that until they do this work. And I feel like the work that is inside Misfit to Maven, one, I keep calling it work, and it is much more like play, especially now. And it's like I found a way of delivering people their vegetables without them knowing their vegetables.
It's a really good analogy. I mean, it's interesting because, going through, the work that we did together, a lot of it did feel playful, and that was really helpful as well. But so yes, I totally get the analogy you've just used, and people doing the work whilst not necessarily feeling like they're working. But actually, it's really hard for people to be honest, look inside and be honest and do that work.
It is, and they'll put
And
it back
so that was really
together.
helpful as well, in terms of the things that you unlocked for me, just enabling me to really honestly be truthful with myself, be truthful with other people in my life, say, here's where I am. This is what needs to change. This is the work I'm doing. It's really powerful, but I mean it's difficult, and I think that's why people shy away from it, right? Because who wants to be really honest with themselves?
Well,
But
totally. And every time I interview any of my clients, right, every single one, no matter whether it is an online course or one-to-one, they always come on and like they're like, "Yeah, but it was really hard." Like, or it was like, "I hated you for most of it." And like, you know, since we first did that work together, and only 2 years ago I got diagnosed ADHD and autistic, and the autist in me is like, you can't just tell people it's hard. And I forget that the overtones of one, people come back and they're willing to talk to me, and that they're laughing about like all of that. The words might be, it was really hard, right? But the energy around it is playful. And that combination, we're back into contradictions again, right?
absolutely.
And for me, the sweet or confectionery industry spends millions of pounds every single year trying to find the bliss point of salty and sweet, right? Of like that thing that makes you want more. And for me, inside Misfit to Maven and the work that we do in there and the way that I engage with people, whether it's me personally or the things that I create, has that bliss point of salty and sweet, of challenge and satisfaction that makes you want more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to say the addictive, but that makes it sound unhealthy. But it's more just about joy and home, feeling like you're at home in yourself, and therefore you can do the work that you feel like you're on this earth in your human skin to do for yourself and for other people.
On that
And
then, how has the work that you've done impacted your family, your, you know, your wife, your kids, the people around you? I'd be really curious to know.
Well, it's interesting. I'm thinking of a moment. So I was ordained last summer. We up sticks and moved house. Long story, but we had to move house twice in 3 months to get where we are now. And so there was a real roller coaster, not just for me, but for everybody in the family. But then, sort of one of those eureka moments, which I was like a blubbering mess when this happened, but like as a whole family, we'd been to an event in the parish where I serve now, just before Christmas, and we were driving home and talking about it, and I just went, this is amazing, I love my job, And job is too small a word for it, but I love my work. I love my job. I've started to be able, well, no, I do in so many ways love who I am now. And that was a big thing for me. But Sally, my wife, said to me 2 or 3 days after that, she was with the kids doing something else 2 or 3 days after, and she said, I think it was my son said to her, it's amazing to see Dad like really happy and like doing what he's meant to be doing and not, coming home from a ridiculous day in a marketing office and going, well, it's all right, but and I guess all the energies and tensions and anything that I was putting out into the world on the back of feeling like this square peg in a round hole, like a misfit, we're not there anymore. And so I recognized it in myself, but the people who are closest to me on a day-to-day basis also saw a complete change in me and were happy for me, and I guess see the impact on them as well, I hope, in a good way.
I hope so. My belief is when you are watching your parents do work they hate, the intrinsic belief that you inherit is one has to do work one hates in order to survive. Because if my superhero of a father has to do work he hates, then there can't possibly be any other way, because if there was, he would have figured it out, right?
Yeah,
And so
exactly
as
right.
this little person, you're like, that becomes your imprint. And so when you watch somebody do the work to change their life, in a way, that's almost more powerful than growing up with a father who just does something he likes, right? Because then you take it for granted. But when you watch somebody change their life, then you learn, no matter where I am, it's always possible to change things.
Yeah. And it's a really important lesson, isn't it? It's yeah. And it's not always easy, but it's so worth it. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and sharing some of that. It's been, just really lovely to, and it's always really lovely to, and one of the things I get the most reward out of personally, in a world full of numbers and how many people can we serve, that like that impact is when you serve lots of people. For me personally, the impact is when I am still in connection with, still have a relationship with, still get to watch and see and hear the personal stories and the relationships with people years down the line. And you did not need to come back 10 years later and have this conversation and give me your time. And it means a lot to me that you would.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for all the amazing things that you helped me unlock and start that journey of, well, that we just talked about changing my life for the better. So thank you. Yeah.
I have a question. I have two actually. One, the first one is, have you been in and seen what Misfit Maven looks like on the inside now?
I have logged into the you finally gave me access to see what's going
Always.
on. So yeah.
And have you had like been through it, and how did it like, does it feel really different? Is it, how does it compare?
I don't yeah, I mean it feels like it's come on. It feels like it's developed. It feels like there's a wider range of tools and it was really interesting because some of the steps that I saw online in your portal were like conversations you were having with other people, and that was really interesting because I mean, I did some group calls with you and others, and it was really interesting for me now seeing other people on, different journeys, but that had common themes and threads, and so I think that was really helpful. Yeah, it's just developed into something that is. It's just an amazing set of tools, and commend them to anybody to get stuck into. If you're like me and you were sitting there, me 10 years ago and going, something's not right. Something, there has to be more to this. There has to, then, get stuck in. Yeah. It's more than it was, but the essential core is still there.
That's really important. And the reason it's really important, so if people are listening to this and starting their own business or want to start their own business or want to start something, right? And they're in that place of, but I can't make it perfect, but I don't have any money, or it's not going to be good enough, or blah 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 blah, right? Which we all do. What it looks like now, 10 years later, and a lot of iteration later, it's mostly for me, right? It did, like you just said, it didn't need it. The PDFs, like we literally did it with. I still have some of those videos, by the way, and I still have some of the things. And I used to sit in my corridor, which was the best light, with bullet points written in massive letters stuck to the wall in
Stuck to the
front
wall,
of
yeah, I
me,
can imagine.
and pause and like read it and like do 100 takes. And the PDFs were like literally, put together. There was no Canva, there was none of these tools then. And the essence of those things is probably so, it was probably better in some ways because it was really simple. These days, the complexity of what's in there is probably unnecessary, but I love it and it makes it joyful for me.
Well, you've got to be able to do this too, right? I mean, it's not, it's so yeah, absolutely. But no, I mean, I think there are tools in there that will make people who are familiar with today's technologies and tools and ways of working, it will make it easier for them to connect with. It was absolutely right for me at the time, and that was a different world, as you say, 10 years ago. But the essence is still there. The key things are still there, and I recognize they're still there. And I can see them, and I know their power because I'm here talking about it. So, yeah.
Thank you. And what has changed, I say it laughingly, it's like it isn't bells and whistles for the sake of bells and whistles. What has developed is allowing different learning styles to have a go. So what is in there is, if you are someone who is more auditory, or if you like to scan read, or you want to listen to me or watch or whatever, it is there and available, and you don't have to do it all. And there's kind of a way through that is very much choose your own adventure for people like me. This kind of PDA profile and don't like being told what to do. You can make your own way through the co content, and it will work, which is the design. My
Absolutely.
second question was, will you come in to do the patron part with me and answer some very direct questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to get your bio from you and make sure that all your show notes are in. But if people want to come and connect with you, find out more about what you're doing, where's the best place to come and connect?
Well, I as people in the parish I serve in never tire of telling me I am all over social media. If you search for Graham Blackwell or my handle on most platforms is Graham SBA, because going back to the blog that we used to talk about, the name of the blog was Skin Back Alley. There's a whole story behind that, which
I
we
so that was the other question I forgot to ask. Does Scumbag Alley still exist?
it still exists. It's very rare that it gets updated now because I'm in a wildly different place. But I still listen to a lot of heavy metal and rock and roll. It's absolutely still a core part of me, but it's just not my main focus at the moment, which is absolutely right.
Season for everything.
Absolutely. So it's a
Okay.
previous season, but it's still there. It's still
I'm going to
there.
drop some links and stuff in the show notes so that people can come and find you and
Amazing.
have their perceptions of what a priest or clergy has to look like
Yeah.
changed, because I think that's important.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No,
Thank you so much.
thank you. Cheers.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I've been Ebony. You've been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, and sharing so that more people can enjoy and engage with us. If you want even more of me, and more importantly, even more of you in your world, take the next step. Become a patron, a Mavenhaven member, get your free human design chart and report, or your compass, aka the value filter, to begin your glow up. Go to www.ebonyallard.com/welcome for more, and I will see you next time.